from her, rising from so deep that she wondered if it was the sound of the world shredding apart. Hunt lay sprawled on the ground, his back a bloodied, burned mess, and his legs. There was nothing left of them but ribbons, nothing left of his right arm but splattered blood on pavement, and through his back, where his wings had been. That was a bloody, gaping hole. She moved on instinct, scrambling over concrete and metal and blood. He'd shielded her against the brimstone, had somehow escaped Sandriel and come here to save her. Please, 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 please. She turned him over, searching for any hint of life, of breathing. His mouth moved, just slightly. Bryce sobbed, pulling his head into her lap. Help! She called. No answer beyond an unearthly baying in the fire-licked darkness. Help! She yelled again, but her voice was so hoarse it barely carried across the square. Randall had told her about the terrible power of the Asterion Guard's brimstone missiles, how the spells woven into the condensed angelic magic slowed healing in Vaynir long enough for them to bleed out, to die. Blood coated so much of Hunt's face that she could barely see the skin beneath. Only the faint flutter of his throat told her he still lived. And the wounds that should have been healing? They leaked and gushed blood. Arteries had been severed, vital arteries. Help! She screamed. But no one answered. The brimstone's blasts had downed the helicopter. Only Fury's skill kept them alive, though they'd still crashed, flipping twice, before landing somewhere in Moonwood. Therion bled from his head. Fury had a gash in her leg. Flynn and Amelie both bore broken bones. And Rune? He didn't bother to think about his own wounds, not as the smoke-filled, burning night became laced with approaching snarls. But the brimstone had halted. At least they had that. He prayed the Asterion Guard would need a good while before they could muster the power to form more of them. Rune forced himself into movement by sheer will. Two of the duffels of weapons had come free of their bindings and been lost in the crash. Flynn and Fury began divvying out the remaining guns and knives, working quickly while Rune assessed the state of the one intact machine gun he'd ripped from the chopper's floor. Hypaxia's voice cracked over the miraculously undamaged radio. We have eyes on the old square gate, she said. Rune paused, waiting for the news, not daring to hope. The last Rune had seen of Athalar was the angel plunging toward Bryce, while the Asterion Guard fired those glowing golden missiles over the walls like some sick fireworks show. Then the citywide explosions had sundered the world. Athalar is down, Declan announced gravely. Bryce lives. Rune offered up a silent prayer of thanks to Cathona for her mercy. Another pause. Correction. Athalar made it, but barely. His injuries are... Shit. His swallow was audible. I don't think there's any chance of survival. Therion cocked a rifle to his shoulder, peering through the scope into the darkness. We've got about a dozen demons sizing us up from that brick building over there.
Six more over here,
Fury said, also using the scope on her rifle. Amelie Ravenscroft limped badly as she shifted into wolf form with a flash of light and bared her teeth at the darkness. If they didn't shut the portals and the other gates, only two options existed, retreat or death.
They're getting curious,
Flynn murmured without taking his eye from the scope of his gun.
Do we have a plan?
The river's at our backs, Therion said. If we're lucky, my people might come to our aid.
The Blue Court lay far enough below the surface to have avoided the Brimstone's wrath. They could rally. But Bryce and Hunt remained in the old square. Rune said,
We're 30 blocks from the Heart Gate. We go down the Riverwalk, then cut inland at Main.
He added,
That's where I'm headed, at least.
They all nodded, grim-faced.
Tell Rune, I forgive him, for all of it.
The words echoed through Rune's blood. They had to keep going, even if the demons picked them off one by one. He just hoped they'd reach his sister in time to find something to save.
Bryce knelt over Hunt, his life spilling out all around her. And in the smoldering, acrid quiet, she began whispering.
I believe it happened for a reason. I believe it all happened for a reason.
She stroked his bloody hair, her voice shaking.
I believe it wasn't for nothing.
She looked toward the gate, gently set Hunt down amid the rubble. She whispered again, rising to her feet.
I believe it happened for a reason. I believe it all happened for a reason. I believe it wasn't for nothing.
She walked from Hunt's body as he bled behind her, wended her way through the debris and rubble. The fence around the gate had been warped, peeled away. But the court's archway still stood, its bronze plaque and the dial pad's gems intact, as she halted before them. Bryce whispered again.
I believe it wasn't for nothing.
She laid her palm on the dial pad's bronze disc. The metal was warm against Bryce's fingers, as it had been when she'd touched it that final day with Danica. Its power zinged through her, sucking the fee for the usage, a drop of her magic. The gates had been used as communication devices in the past, but the only reason words could pass between them was the power that connected them. They all sat atop linked ley lines, a veritable matrix of energy. The gate wasn't just a prism. It was a conduit, and she had the horn in her very skin, had proved it could close a portal to hell. Bryce whispered into the little intercom in the center of the pad's arc of gems.
Hello?
No one answered. She said,
if you can hear me, come to the gate. Any gate.
Still nothing, she said.
My name is Bryce Quinlan. I'm in the old square, and I think I've figured out how we can stop this. How we can fix this.
Silence. None of the other gems lit up to indicate the presence or voice of another person in another district, touching the disc on their end.
I know it's bad right now.
She tried again.
I know it's so, so bad and dark, and I know it feels impossible. But if you can make it to another gate, just please, please come.
She took a shuddering breath.
You don't need to do anything, she said. All you need to do is just put your hand on the disc. That's all I need. Just another person on the line.
Her hand shook, and she pressed it harder to the metal.
The gate is a conduit of power, a lightning rod that feeds into every other gate throughout the city. And I need someone on the other end, linked to me through that vein.
She swallowed.
I need someone to anchor me, so I can make the drop.
The words whispered out into the world. Bryce's rasping voice overrode the sounds of the demons rallying again around her.
The first light I'll generate by making the drop will spread from this gate to the others. It'll light up everything, send those demons racing away. It'll heal everything it touches, everyone it touches. And I,
she took a deep breath,
I am Starborn Fae, and I bear Luna's horn in my body. With the power of the first light I generate, I can shut the portals to hell. I did it here, I can do it everywhere else. But I need a link, and the power from my drop to do it.
Still no one answered. No life stirred beyond the beasts in the deepest shadows.
Please,
Bryce begged, her voice breaking. Silently, she prayed for any one of those six other gems to light up, to show that just one person in any district would answer her plea. But there was only the crackling nothingness. She was alone, and Hunt was dying. Bryce waited 5 seconds, 10 seconds. No one answered. No one came. Swallowing another sob, she took a shuddering breath. and let go of the disc. Hunt's breaths had grown few and far between. She crawled back to him, hands shaking, but her voice was calm as she again slid his head into her lap, stroked his blood-soaked face.
"It's going to be all right," she said. "Help is coming, Hunt. The Medwitches are on their way."
She shut her eyes against her tears.
"We're going to be all right," she lied. "We're going to go home, where Syrinx is waiting for us. We're going to go home, you and me, together. We'll have that afterward, like you promised. But only if you hold on, Hunt."
His breathing rattled in his chest, a death rattle. She bent over him, inhaling his scent, the strength in him, and then she said it, the three words that meant more than anything. She whispered them into his ear, sending them with all she had left in her. The final truth, the one she needed him to hear. Hunt's breathing spread and thinned, not much longer. Bryce couldn't stop her tears as they dropped onto Hunt's cheeks, cleaning away the blood in clear tracks.
"Light it up,"
Danica whispered to her, into her heart.
"I tried," she whispered back. "Danica, I tried."
"Light it up."
Bryce wept.
"It didn't work."
"Light it up." Urgency sharpened the words, as if. Bryce lifted her head, looked toward the gate, to the plaque and its gems. She waited, counted her breaths.
1, 2, 3.
The gems remained dark.
4, 5, 6.
Nothing at all. Bryce swallowed hard and turned back to Hunt one last time. He'd go, and then she'd follow, once more brimstone fell or the demons worked up the courage to attack her. She took another breath.
7.
Light it up.
The words filled the old square, filled every square in the city. Bryce whipped her head around to look at the gate as Danica's voice sounded again.
"Light it up, Bryce."
The onyx stone of the bone quarter glowed like a dark star. Chapter 92. Bryce's face crumpled as she lurched to her feet, sprinting to the gate. She didn't care how it was possible as Danica said again,
"Light it up."
Then Bryce was laughing and sobbing as she screamed, "Light it up, Danica! Light it up! Light it up! Light it up!" Bryce slammed her palm onto the bronze disc of the gate, and soul to soul with the friend whom she had not forgotten, the friend who had not forgotten her, even in death, Bryce made the drop. Stunned silence filled the conference room as Bryce plunged into her power. Declan Emmett didn't look up from the feeds he monitored, his heart thundering.
"It's not possible,"
the Autumn King said. Declan was inclined to agree. Sabine Fendier murmured,
"Danica had a small kernel of energy left," the Underking said. "A bit of self that remained."
"Can a dead soul even serve as an anchor?"
Queen Hypaxia asked.
"No,"
Jessica replied, with all the finality of the Underking's emissary.
"No, it can't."
Silence rippled through the room as they realized what they were witnessing, an untethered solo drop, utter freefall. Bryce might as well have leapt from a cliff and hoped to land safely. Declan drew his eyes from the video feed and scanned the graph on one of his three computers, the one charting Bryce's drop, courtesy of the Eleusian system.
"She's approaching her power level."
Barely a blip past zero on the scale. Hypaxia peered over his shoulder to study the graph.
"She's not slowing, though."
Declan squinted at the screen.
"She's gaining speed."
He shook his head.
But she's classified as a low level.
Near negligible, if he felt like being a dick about it. Hypaxia said quietly,
"But the gate is not."
Sabine demanded, "What do you mean?"
Hypaxia whispered.
I don't think it's a memorial plaque. On the gate.
The witch pointed to the sign mounted on the glowing quartz, the bronze stark against the incandescent stone.
The power shall always belong to those who give their lives to the city.
Bryce dropped further into power, past the normal, respectable levels. Queen Hypaxia said,
The plaque is a blessing.
Declan's breathing was uneven as he murmured,
The power of the gates. The power given over by every soul who has ever touched it. Every soul who has handed over a drop of their magic.
He tried and failed to calculate just how many people, over how many centuries, had touched the gates in the city, had handed over a drop of their power, like a coin tossed in a fountain, made a wish on that drop of yielded power. People of every house, every race, millions and millions of drops of power fueled this solo drop. Bryce passed level after level after level. The Autumn King's face went pale. Hypaxia said,
Look at the gates.
The quartz gates across the city began to glow. Red, then orange, then gold, then white. First light erupted from them, lines of it speared out in every direction. The lights flowed down the ley lines between the gates, connecting them along the main avenues. It formed a perfect six-pointed star. The lines of light began to spread, curving around the city walls, cutting off the demons now aiming for the lands beyond. Light met light met light met light, until the city was ringed with it, until every street was glowing. And Bryce was still making the drop. It was joy and life and death and pain and song and silence. Bryce tumbled into power, and power tumbled into her, and she didn't care, didn't care, didn't care because it was Danica falling with her, Danica laughing with her as their souls twined. She was here, she was here, she was here. Bryce plunged into the golden light and song at the heart of the universe. Danica let out a howl of joy, and Bryce echoed it. Danica was here. It was enough.
She's passing runes level,
Declan breathed, not believing it, that his friend's party girl sister had surpassed the prince himself, surpassed rune-fucking-Dannon. Declan's king was still as death, as Bryce smashed past rune's ranking. This could change their very order. A powerful half-human princess with a star's light in her veins? Fucking hell. Bryce began slowing at last, nearing the Autumn King's level. Declan swallowed. The city was awash with her light. Demons fled from it, racing back through the voids, opting to brave the glowing gates rather than be trapped in Midgard. Light shot up from the gates, seven bolts becoming one in the heart of the city, above the old square gate, a highway of power, of Bryce's will. The voids between Midgard and Hell began to shrink, as if the light itself was abhorrent, as if that pure, unrestrained first light could heal the world. And it did. Buildings shattered by brimstone slid back into place, rubble gathered into walls and streets and fountains, wounded people became whole again. Bryce slowed further. Declan ground his teeth. The voids within the gates became smaller and smaller. Demons rushed back to hell through the shrinking doorways. More and more of the city healed as the horn closed the portals, as Bryce sealed the portals, the horn's power flowing through her, amplified by the first light she was generating.
Holy gods, someone was whispering.
The voids between worlds became slivers, then nothing at all. The gates stood empty. The portals gone. Bryce stopped at last. Declan studied the precise number of her power, just a decimal point above that of the Autumn King. Declan let out a soft laugh, wishing Rune were here to see the male's shocked expression. The Autumn King's face tightened, and he growled at Declan.
I would not be so smug, boy.
Declan tensed.
Why?
The Autumn King hissed.
Because that girl may have used the gate's power to drop to unforeseen levels. But she will not be able to make the ascent.
Declan's fingers stilled on the keys of his laptop. The Autumn King laughed mirthlessly. Not from malice, Declan realized, but something like pain. He'd never known the prick could feel such a thing. Bryce slumped to the stones beside the gate. Declan didn't need medical monitors to know her heart had flatlined. Her mortal body had died. A clock on the computer showing the Eleusian system began counting down from a 6-minute marker, the indicator of how long she had to make the search and the ascent, to let her mortal, aging body die, to face what lay within her soul, and race back up to life into her full power, and emerge an immortal. If she made the ascent, the Eleusian system would register it, track it. The Autumn King said hoarsely,
"She made the drop alone.
Danica Fendir is dead. She is not a true anchor. Bryce has no way back to life." Chapter 93. This was the cradle of all life, this place. There was a physical ground beneath her, and she had the sense of an entire world above her, full of distant, twinkling lights. But this was the bottom of the sea, the dark trench that cut through the skin of the earth. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered at all. Not with Danica standing before her, holding her. Bryce peeled away far enough to look at her beautiful, angular face, the corn silk hair. It was the same, right down to the amethyst, sapphire, and rose streaks. She'd somehow forgotten the exact features of Danica's face, but there they were. Bryce said,
"You came."
Danica's smile was soft. "You asked for help."
Are you alive? Over there, I mean.
No. Danica shook her head. "No, Bryce. This, what you see," she gestured to herself, the familiar jeans and old band t-shirt. "This is just the spark that's left. What was resting over there."
"But it's you. This is you."
"Yes." Danica peered at the churning darkness above them, the entire ocean above. "And you don't have much time to make the ascent, Bryce." Bryce snorted.
"I'm not making the ascent."
Danica blinked. "What do you mean?" Bryce stepped back.
"I'm not making it.
Because this was where her homeless soul would stay if she failed. Her body would die in the world above, and her soul that she'd traded away to the Underking would be left to wander this place with Danica." Danica crossed her arms.
"Why?"
Bryce blinked furiously.
"Because it got too hard without you. It is too hard without you."
"That's bullshit," Danica snarled. "So you'll just give up on everything, Bryce? I am dead. I am gone. And you'll trade your entire life for this tiny piece of me that's left?"
Disappointment shuttered her caramel eyes.
"The friend I knew wouldn't have done that."
Bryce's voice broke as she said,
"We were supposed to do this together. We were supposed to live out our lives together."
Danica's face softened.
"I know, B." She took her hand. "But that's not how it turned out."
Bryce bowed her head, thinking she'd crack apart.
"I miss you. Every moment of every day."
"I know,"
Danica said again, and put a hand over her heart.
"And I've felt it. I've seen it."
"Why did you lie? About the horn?"
"I didn't lie," Danica said simply. "I just didn't tell you."
"You lied about the tattoo,"
Bryce countered.
"To keep you safe," Danica said. "To keep the horn safe, yeah. But mostly to keep you safe, in case the worst happened to me."
"Well, the worst did happen to you,"
Bryce said, instantly regretting it when Danica flinched. But then Danica said,
You traded your place in the Bone Quarter for me.
Bryce began crying.
It was the least I could do.
Tears formed in Danica's eyes. You didn't think I'd make it? She threw her a sharp, pained grin. Asshole. But Bryce shook with the force of her weeping.
I couldn't take that risk.
Danica brushed back a piece of Bryce's hair. Bryce sniffled and said,
I killed Micah for what he did. To you? To Lahaba?
Her heart strained.
Is she over in the Bone Quarter?
I don't know. And yeah, I saw what happened in the gallery.
Danica didn't explain more about the particulars.
We all saw.
That word snagged. We. Bryce's lips trembled.
Is Connor with you?
He is. And the rest of the pack. They bought me time with the Reapers to get to the gate. They're holding them off, but not for long, Bryce.
I can't stay here with you. She shook her head. Connor would have wanted more for you than this. She stroked the back of Bryce's hand with her thumb. He wouldn't have wanted you to stop fighting. Bryce wiped at her face again.
I didn't. Not until now. But now I'm... It's all just fucked. And I'm so tired of it feeling that way. I'm done.
Danica asked softly.
What about the angel?
Bryce's head snapped up.
What about him?
Danica gave her a knowing smile.
If you want to ignore the fact that you've got your family who loves you no matter what, fine. But the angel remains.
Bryce withdrew her hand from Danica's.
You're really trying to convince me to make the ascent for a guy?
Is Hunt Athalar really just some guy to you?
Danica's smile turned gentle.
And why is it somehow a mark against your strength to admit that there is someone who happens to be male worth returning to? Someone who I know made you feel like things are far from fucked.
Bryce crossed her arms.
So what?
He's healed, Bryce,
Danica said.
You healed him with the first light.
Bryce's breath shuddered out of her. She'd done all of this for that wild hope. She swallowed, looking at the ground that was not earth, but the very base of self, of the world. She whispered,
I'm scared.
Danica grabbed her hand again.
That's the point of it, Bryce. Of life. To live. To love. Knowing that it all might vanish tomorrow. It makes everything that much more precious.
She took Bryce's face in her hands and pressed their brows together. Bryce closed her eyes and inhaled Danica's scent, somehow still present even in this form.
I don't think I can make it. Back up.
Danica pulled away, peering at the impossible distance overhead, then at the road that stretched before them, the runway. Its end was a free fall into eternal darkness, into nothingness, but she said,
Just try, Bryce. One try. I'll be with you every step of the way, even if you can't see me. I will always be with you.
Bryce didn't look at that too short runway, the endless ocean above them, separating her from life. She just memorized the lines of Danica's face, as she had not had the chance to do before.
I love you, Danica,
she whispered. Danica's throat bobbed. She cocked her head, the movement purely Lupin, as if listening to something.
Bryce, you have to hurry.
She grabbed her hand, squeezing.
You have to decide. Now.
The timer on Bryce's life showed 2 minutes left. Her dead body lay sprawled on the stones beside the faintly glowing gate. Declan ran a hand over his chest. He didn't dare contact Rune. Not yet. Couldn't bear to.
There's no way to help her?
Hypaxia whispered to the silent room.
No way at all.
No. Declan had used the past 4 minutes to run a search of every public and private database in Midgard for a miracle. He'd found nothing.
Beyond being without an anchor,
the Autumn King said.
She used an artificial power source to bring her to that level. Her body is not biologically equipped to make the ascent. Even with a true anchor, she wouldn't be able to gain enough momentum for that first jump upward.
Jessica gravely nodded her confirmation, but the sorceress said nothing. Declan's memories of his drop and ascent were murky, frightening. He'd gone farther than anticipated, but had at least stayed within his own range. Even with Flynn anchoring him, he'd been petrified he wouldn't make it back. Despite registering on the system as a blip of energy beside Bryce, Danica Fendir was not a tether to life, not a true anchor. She had no life of her own. Danica was merely the thing that had given Bryce enough courage to attempt the drop alone. The Autumn King went on.
I've looked. I've spent centuries looking. Thousands of people throughout the ages have attempted to go past their own intended levels through artificial means. None of them ever made it back to life.
1 minute remained, the seconds flying off the countdown clock. Bryce had still not ascended, was still making the search, facing whatever lay within her. The timer would have halted if she had begun her attempt at the ascent, marking her entrance into the between, the liminal place between death and life. But the timer kept going, winding down. It didn't matter, though. Bryce would die whether she attempted it or not. 30 seconds left. The remaining dignitaries in the room bowed their heads. 10 seconds. The Autumn King rubbed at his face, then watched the clock count down, the remainder of Bryce's life. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The milliseconds raced toward 0. True death. The clock stopped at 0.003. A red line shot across the bottom of the Eleusian system's graph, along the runway toward oblivion. Declan whispered,
She's running.
Faster, Bryce! Danica raced at her heels. Step after step after step, Bryce barreled down that mental runway toward the ever-nearing end of it. Faster! Danica roared. One shot. She had one shot at this. Bryce ran, ran and ran and ran, arms pumping, gritting her teeth. The odds were impossible, the likelihood slim. But she tried. With Danica beside her this last time, she could try. She had made the drop solo, but she was not alone. She had never been alone. She never would be. Not with Danica in her heart, and not with Hunt beside her. The end of the runway neared. She had to get airborne, had to start the ascent, or she'd fall into nothingness forever. Don't stop! Danica screamed, so Bryce didn't. She charged onward, toward that very final, deadly endpoint. She used every foot of the runway, every last inch, and then blasted upward. Declan couldn't believe what he was seeing, as the Autumn King fell to his knees, as Bryce rose, lifted on a surge of power. She cleared the deepest levels.
It's not, the Autumn King breathed. It's not possible. She is alone.
Tears streamed down Sabine's harsh face as she whispered,
No, she isn't.
The force that was Danica Fendir, the force that had given Bryce that boost upward, faded away into nothing. Declan knew it would never return, in this world or on a mist-veiled isle. It might still have been too long for Bryce's brain to be without oxygen, even if she could make it the entire way back to life. But his princess fought for every bit of progress upward, her power shifting, traces of everyone who'd given it to her coming through, Mare, Shifter, Draki, Human, Angel, Sprite, Fae.
How?
The Autumn King asked no one in particular.
How?
It was the ancient prime of the wolves who answered, his withered voice rising above the pinging of the graph.
With the strength of the most powerful force in the world. The most powerful force in any realm.
He pointed to the screen.
What brings loyalty beyond death, undimming despite the years? What remains unwavering in the face of hopelessness?
The Autumn King twisted toward the ancient prime, shaking his head, still not understanding. Bryce was at the level of ordinary witches now, but still too far from life. Motion caught Declan's eye, and he whirled toward the feet of the old square. Wreathed in lightning, healed and whole, Hunt Athalar was kneeling over Bryce's dead body, pumping her torso with his hands, chest compressions. Hunt hissed to Bryce through gritted teeth, thunder cracking above him.
I heard what you said.
Pump, pump, pump went his powerful arms.
What you waited to admit until I was almost dead, you fucking coward.
His lightning surged into her, sending her body arcing off the ground as he tried to jumpstart her heart. He snarled in her ear.
Now come say it to my face.
Sabine whispered a sentence to the room, to the Autumn King, and Declan's heart rose, hearing it. It was the answer to the ancient prime's words, to the Autumn King's question of how, against every statistic blaring on Declan's computer, they were even witnessing Hunt Athalar fight like hell to keep Bryce Quinlan's heart beating.
Through love, all is possible.
Chapter 94. She was sea and sky and stone and blood, and wings and earth and stars and darkness and light and bone and flame. Danica was gone. She had given over what remained of her soul, her power, to get Bryce off the runway and for that initial rocketing ascent. Danica had whispered,
I love you.
Before fading into nothing, her hand sliding from Bryce's. And it had not destroyed Bryce to make that final goodbye. The roar she had emitted was not one of pain, but of challenge. Bryce barreled higher. She could feel the surface nearby, the thin veil between this place and life. Her power shifted, dancing between forms and gifts. She thrust upward with a push of a mighty tail, twisted and rose with a sweep of vast wings. She was all things, and yet herself. And then she heard it. His voice. His answering challenge to her call. He was there, waiting for her, fighting to keep her heart going. She was close enough to the veil to see it now. Even before she had come to lie dead before him, he'd fought to keep her heart going. Bryce smiled in this place between, and at last careened toward Hunt.
Come on,
Hunt grunted, continuing the chest compressions, counting Bryce's breaths until he could shock her again with his lightning. He didn't know how long she had been down, but she'd been dead when he'd awoken, healed and whole, to a repaired city. As if no magic bombs, no demons had ever harmed it. He saw the glowing gate, the blazing light, the first light, and knew only someone making the drop could generate that kind of power. And when he'd seen her lifeless body before the gate, he'd known she'd somehow found a way to make the drop, to unleash that healing first light, to use the horn to seal the portals to hell at the other gates. So he'd acted on instinct, did the only thing he could think of. He'd saved her, and she'd saved him, and he... His power felt it coming a moment later. Recognized her, like seeing itself in a mirror. How she was bringing up this much power? How she was making the ascent alone? He didn't care about that. He had fallen, he had survived, he had gone through every trial and torture and horror, all for this moment, so he could be here. It had all been for her. For Bryce. Closer and closer her power neared. Hunt braced himself and sent another shock of lightning into her heart. She arced off the ground once more, body lifeless.
Come on,
he repeated, pumping her chest again with his hands.
I'm waiting for you.
He'd been waiting for her from the moment he'd been born. And as if she'd heard him, Bryce exploded into life. She was warm and she was safe and she was... home. There was light, around her, from her, in her heart.
Bryce realized she was breathing, and her heart was beating. Both were secondary, would always be secondary around Hunt. She dimly registered that they were kneeling in the old square. His gray wings glowed like embers as they curved around them both, holding her tightly to him. And inside the wall of velvet soft wings, like a sun contained inside a flower bud, Bryce shone. She slowly lifted her head, pulling away only far enough to look at his face. Hunt already stared down at her, his wings unfurling like petals at dawn. No tattoo marked his brow. The halo was gone. She ran her shaking fingers over the smooth skin. Hunt silently brushed away her tears. She smiled at him with the lightness in her heart, her soul. Hunt slid his hand along her jaw, cupping her face. The tenderness in his eyes wiped away any lingering doubts. She laid her palm over his thundering heart. "Did you just call me a fucking coward?" Hunt tipped his head to the stars and laughed.
"So what if I did?"
She angled her face closer to his.
"Too bad all that healing first light didn't turn you into a decent person."
"Where would the fun be in that, Quinlan?"
Her toes curled at the way he said her name.
"I suppose I'll just have to."
A door opened down the street, then another, and another, and stumbling, weeping with relief or silent in shock, the people of Crescent City emerged, gaped at what they beheld, at Bryce and Hunt. She let go of him and rose. Her power was a strange, vast well beneath her, belonging not only to her, but to all of them. She peered up at Hunt, who was now gazing at her as if he couldn't quite believe his eyes. She took his hand, interlaced their fingers, and together, they stepped forward to greet the world. Chapter 95. Syrinx was sitting in her apartment's open front doorway, whining with worry, as Bryce and Hunt stepped off the elevator. Bryce scanned the empty hall, the Chimera.
"I left that door shut,"
she began, earning a knowing chuckle from Hunt, but Syrinx was already sprinting for her.
"I'll explain his gifts later,"
Hunt murmured as Bryce herded a hysterical Syrinx into the apartment and knelt before the beast, flinging her arms around him. She and Hunt had stayed in the old square for all of 2 minutes before the wailing began, from the people who stumbled from the shelters to discover that it had been too late for their loved ones. The horn inked into her back had done its job well. Not one void remained in the gates, and her first light, through those gates, had been able to heal everything, people, buildings, the world itself. Yet it could not do the impossible. It could not bring back the dead. And there were many, many bodies in the streets, most only in pieces. Bryce tightened her arms around Syrinx.
"It's okay,"
she whispered, letting him lick her face. But it wasn't okay. Not even close. What had happened, what she'd done and revealed, the horn in her body, all those people dead, Lahaba dead, and seeing Danica, Danica, Danica. Her breathless words turned into pants and then shuddering sobs. Hunt, standing behind her as if he'd been waiting for this, just scooped her and Syrinx into his arms. Hunt brought her to her bedroom, sitting down on the edge of the mattress, keeping his arms around her and Syrinx, who pried his way free from Bryce's arms to lick Hunt's face, too. His hand slipped into her hair, fingers twining through it, and Bryce leaned into him, soaking up that strength, that familiar scent, marveling that they had even got here, had somehow made it. She glanced at his wrist. No sign of the halo on his brow. Yet the slave tattoo remained. Hunt noticed the shift in her attention. He said quietly,
"I killed Sandriel."
His eyes were so calm, clear, fixed wholly on hers.
"I killed Micah,"
she whispered.
"I know."
The corner of his mouth curled upward.
Remind me to never get on your bad side.
It's not funny.
Oh, I know it's not.
His fingers drifted through her hair, casually and gently.
I could barely stand to watch.
She could barely stand to remember it.
How did you manage to kill her? To get rid of the tattoo?
It's a long story,
he said.
I'd rather you fill in the details of yours.
You first.
Not a chance. I want to hear how you hid the fact that you've got a star inside you.
He looked down at her chest then, as if he'd glimpsed it shimmering beneath her skin. But when his eyebrows flicked upward, Bryce followed his line of sight.
Well, she said with a sigh, that's new.
Indeed, just visible down the V-neck of her t-shirt, a white splotch, an eight-pointed star, now scarred the place between her breasts. Hunt chuckled.
I like it.
Some small part of her did, too, but she said,
you know it's just the starborn light, not true power.
Yeah, except now you've got that, too.
He pinched her side.
A good amount from what I can sense.
And the fucking horn? He ran his hand down her spine for emphasis. She rolled her eyes.
Whatever.
But his face grew grave.
You're going to have to learn to control it.
We save the city and you're already telling me I need to get back to work? He chuckled.
Old habits, Bryce.
Their eyes met again, and she glanced at his mouth, so close to hers, so perfectly formed, at his eyes, now staring so intently into her own. It had all happened for a reason. She believed that. For this. For him. And though the path she'd been thrust onto was royally fucked, and had led her through the lightless halls of grief and despair, here before her, was light, true light, what she'd raced toward during the ascent. And she wanted to be kissed by that light. Now. Wanted to kiss him back, and tell Searings to go wait in his crate for a while. Hunt's dark eyes turned near feral, as if he could read those thoughts on her face, in her scent.
We have some unfinished business, Quinlan,
he said, voice roughening. He threw Searings a look, and the chimera leapt from the bed and trotted out into the hall, lion's tail waggling as if to say, it's about time. When Bryce looked back at Hunt, she found his focus on her lips, and became hyper-aware of the fact that she was sitting across his lap, on her bed. From the hardness starting to poke into her backside, she knew he'd realized it too. Still, they said nothing as they stared at each other. So Bryce wriggled slightly against his erection, drawing a hiss from him. She huffed a laugh.
I throw one smoldering look at you and you're already...
What was it you said to me a few weeks ago?
Hot and bothered.
One of his hands traced down her spine again, intent in every inch of it.
I've been hot and bothered for you for a long time now.
His hand halted on her waist, his thumb beginning a gentle, torturous stroking along her ribcage. With each sweep, the building ache between her legs ratcheted. Hunt smiled slowly, as if well aware of that. Then he leaned in, pressing a kiss to the underside of her jaw. He sat against her flushed skin.
You ready to do this?
Gods, yes,
she breathed, and when he kissed just beneath her ear, making her back arch slightly, she said,
I recall you promising to fuck me until I couldn't remember my own name.
He shifted his hips, grinding his cock into her, searing her even with the clothing still between them.
If that's what you want, sweetheart, that's what I'll give you.
Oh, gods, she couldn't get a solid breath down, couldn't think around his roving mouth on her neck and his hands and that massive, beautiful cock digging into her. She had to get him inside her, right now. She needed to feel him, needed to have his heat and strength around her, in her. Bryce shifted to straddle his lap, lining herself up with all of him. She met all of him, satisfied to find his breathing as ragged as her own. His hands bracketed her waist, thumbs stroking, stroking, stroking as if he were an engine waiting to roar into movement upon her command. Bryce leaned in, brushing her mouth over his. Once, twice. Hunt began shaking with the force of his restraint as he let her explore her mouth. But she pulled back, meeting his hazy, burning gaze. The words she wanted to say clogged in her throat, so she hoped he understood them as she pressed a kiss to his now clear brow. Sketched a line of soft, glancing kisses over every inch where the tattoo had been. Hunt slid a shaking hand from her waist and laid it over her thundering heart. She swallowed thickly, surprised to find her eyes stinging, surprised to see silver lining his eyes as well. They had made it. They were here, together. Hunt leaned in, slanting his mouth over hers. She met him halfway, arms snaking around his neck, fingers burying themselves in his thick, silken hair. A shrill ringing filled the apartment. She could ignore it, ignore the world. Call from home. Bryce pulled back, panting hard.
You gonna get that?
Hunt's voice was guttural. Yes, no, maybe. Call from home.
She'll just keep calling until I pick up, Bryce murmured.
Her limbs were stiff as she peeled herself from Hunt's lap, his fingers trailing over her back as she stood. She tried not to think about the promise in that touch, as if he was as reluctant to let go of her as she was of him. She ran to the great room and picked up the phone before it went to audio mail.
Bryce!
Her mom was crying. It was enough to douse a bucket of ice water over any lingering arousal.
Bryce!
She blew out a breath, returned to the bedroom, and threw Hunt an apologetic look that he waved off before he slumped back on the bed, wings rustling.
Hi, Mom.
Her mom's sobbing threatened to make her start again, so she kept moving, aiming for her bathroom. She was filthy. Her pink sneakers were near black, her pants torn and bloody, her shirt almost in ruins. Apparently, the first light had only gone so far in fixing everything.
Are you all right? Are you safe?
I'm fine, Bryce said, turning on the shower, leaving it on cold. She peeled off her clothes.
I'm doing fine.
What's that water?
My shower.
You save a city and make the drop and can't even give me your full attention?
Bryce chuckled and put the phone on speaker before setting it on the sink.
How much do you know?
She hissed at the icy blast as she stepped into the spray, but it shocked away any lingering heat between her legs and the heady desire clouding her mind.
Your biological father had Declan Emmett call to fill me in on everything. I guess the bastard finally realized he owed me that much, at least.
Bryce turned up the heat at last, as she shampooed her hair.
How pissed is he?
Furious, I'm sure, she added. The news also just broke a story about who your father is.
Bryce could practically hear her mother grinding her teeth.
They know the exact amount of power you got. As much as he has, Bryce. More than him. That's a big deal.
Bryce tried not to reel at it, where her power had landed her. She tucked away that factoid for later. She rinsed the shampoo from her hair, reaching for the conditioner.
I know.
What are you going to do with it?
Open a chain of beach-themed restaurants.
It was too much to hope that achieving that much power would give you a sense of dignity.
Bryce stuck out her tongue even though her mom couldn't see it, and plopped conditioner into her palm.
Look, can we shelve the whole mighty power, mighty burdens discussion until tomorrow?
Yes. Except tomorrow, in your vocabulary, means never.
Her mother sighed.
You closed those portals, Bryce.
And I can't even talk about what Danica did for you without...
Her voice broke.
We can talk about that tomorrow, too.
Bryce rinsed out the conditioner and realized that her mother didn't know. About Micah. What she'd done to him. or what Micah had done to Danica. Ember kept talking, and Bryce kept listening, while dread grew like ivy inside her, creeping through her veins, wrapping around her bones, and squeezing tight. Hunt took a swift, icy shower of his own and changed into different clothes, smiling slightly to himself as Bryce's shower shut off, and she kept talking to her mother. "Yeah, Hunt's here." Her words floated down the hall, through the great room and into his own room. "No, I didn't, Mom. And no, he didn't either." A drawer slammed.
"That is none of your business, and please never ask me anything like that again."
Hunt had a good idea of what Ember had asked her daughter. And wouldn't you know, he'd been about to do just that with Bryce when she'd called. He hadn't cared that an entire city was looking on. He'd wanted to kiss her when the light of her power had faded, when Hunt had lowered his wings to find her in his arms, looking up at him like he was worth something, like he was all she needed. End of story. No one had ever looked at him like that. And when they'd come back here, and he'd had her on his lap on her bed, and seen the way her cheeks became pink as she looked at his mouth, he'd been ready to cross that final bridge with her, to spend all day and night doing so. Considering how her first light had healed him, he'd most definitely say he was cleared for sex. Aching for it. For her. Bryce groaned.
"You're a pervert, Mom, you know that?"
She growled. "Well, if you're so fucking invested in it, why did you call me? Didn't you think I might be busy?" Hunt smiled, going half-hearted again at the sass in her tone. He could listen to her snark all fucking day. He wondered how much of it would make an appearance when he got her naked again, got her moaning. The first time she'd come on his hand. This time. He had plans for all the other ways he'd get her to make that beautiful, breathless sound as she'd orgasmed. Leaving Bryce to deal with her mother, willing his cock to calm the fuck down, Hunt grabbed a burner phone from his underwear drawer and dialed Isaiah, one of the few numbers he'd memorized.
"Thank the fucking gods," Isaiah said when he heard Hunt's voice.
Hunt smiled at the male's uncharacteristic relief.
"What's happening on your end?"
"My end?" Isaiah barked a laugh. "What the fuck is happening on your end?"
Too much to say.
"Are you at the Comitium?"
"Yeah, and it's a god's damned madhouse. I just realized I'm in charge now."
With Micah a bunch of ashes in a vacuum, and Sandriel not much better, Isaiah, as Micah's commander of the 33rd, was indeed in charge.
"Congrats on the promotion, man."
"Promotion, my ass. I'm not an archangel, and these assholes know it."
Isaiah snapped at someone in the background.
"Then call fucking maintenance to clean it up."
He sighed.
Hunt asked, "What happened to the Asterian fuckheads who sent their brimstone over the walls?"
He had half a mind to fly out there and start unleashing his lightning on those tanks.
"Gone. Already moved off."
Isaiah's dark tone told Hunt he'd be down for some good old-fashioned retribution, too. Hunt asked, bracing himself.
"Naomi? Alive?"
Hunt uttered a silent prayer of thanks to C'thona for that mercy. Then Isaiah said,
"Look, I know you're exhausted, but can you get over here? I could use your help to sort this shit out. All these pissing contests will end pretty damn fast if they see us both in charge."
Hunt tried not to bristle. Bryce and him getting naked, it seemed, would have to wait. Because the slave tattoo on his wrist meant he still had to obey the Republic, still belonged to someone other than himself. The list of possibilities wasn't good. He'd be lucky if he got to stay in Lunathian, as the possession of whoever took Micah's spot, and maybe see Bryce in stolen moments, if he was even allowed outside the Comitium. Fuck. If they even allowed him to live after what he'd done to Sandriel. Hunt's hands began to shake. Any trace of arousal vanished. But he shrugged a shirt over his head. He'd find some way to survive. Some way back to this life with Quinlan he'd barely begun to savor. Unable to help himself, he glanced at his wrist. He blinked once.
Twice.
Bryce was just saying goodbye to her deviant mother when the phone beeped with another call. It was from an unknown number, which meant it was probably Jessica, so Bryce promised Ember they'd talk tomorrow and switched over.
Hey.
A young male voice asked,
Is that how you greet all your callers? Bryce Quinlan?
She knew that voice, knew the lanky teenage body it belonged to, a shell to house an ancient behemoth, to house an Asteri. She'd seen and heard it on TV so many times she'd lost count.
Hello, your brilliance,
she whispered. Chapter 96. Rigelus, the bright hand of the Asteri, had called her house. Bryce's hands shook so badly she could barely keep the phone to her ear.
We beheld your actions today and wished to extend our gratitude,
the lilting voice said. She swallowed, wondering if the mightiest of the Asteri somehow knew she was standing in a towel, hair dripping onto the carpet.
You're welcome?
Rigelus laughed softly.
You have had quite a day, Miss Quinlan.
Yes, your brilliance.
It was a day full of many surprises for all of us. We know what you are, what you did.
Bryce forced her legs to move, to head to the great room, to where Hunt was standing in the doorway of his bedroom, his face pale, his arms slack at his sides.
To show you how deep our gratitude goes, we would like to grant you a favor.
She wondered if the brimstone had been a favor too, but she said,
That's not necessary.
It is already done. We trust you will find it satisfactory. She knew Hunt could hear the voice on the line as he walked over, but he just held out his wrist, his tattooed wrist with a C stamped over the slave's mark.
Freed.
Bryce gripped Hunt's wrist, then scanned his face. But it was not joy she saw there, not as she heard the voice on the line and understood who had gifted him his freedom.
We also trust that this favor will serve as a reminder for you and Hunt Athalar. It is our deepest wish that you remain in the city and live out your days in peace and contentment, that you use your ancestors' gift to bring yourself joy, and refrain from using the other gift inked upon you. Use your starlight as a party trick and never, ever use the horn.
It made her the biggest idiot in Midgard, but she said,
What about Micah and Sandriel?
Governor Micah went rogue and threatened to destroy innocent citizens of this empire with his high-handed approach to the rebel conflict. Governor Sandriel got what she deserved in being so lax with her control over her slaves.
Fear gleamed in Hunt's eyes. In her own, too, Bryce was sure. Nothing was ever this easy. This simple. There had to be a catch.
These are, of course, sensitive issues, Miss Quinlan, ones that, were they publicly announced, would result in a great deal of trouble for all involved.
For you, we will destroy you.
All the witnesses to both events have been notified of the potential fallout.
Okay,
Bryce whispered. And as for the unfortunate destruction of Lunathian, we do accept full responsibility. We were informed by Sandriel that the city had been evacuated and sent the Asterian guard to wipe away the demon infestation. The brimstone missiles were a last resort, intended to save us all. It was incredibly fortunate that you found a solution.
Liar. Ancient, awful liar.
He'd picked the perfect scapegoat, a dead one. The rage that flickered over Hunt's face told her he shared her opinion.
I was truly lucky,
Bryce managed to say.
Yes, perhaps because of the power in your veins.
Such a gift can have tremendous consequences, if not handled wisely.
A pause, as if he were smiling. I trust you shall learn to wield both your unexpected strength and the light within you with discretion.
Stay in your lane.
I will, Bryce murmured. Good, Rigelus said. And do you believe it necessary that I contact your mother, Ember Quinlan, to ask for her discretion, too?
The threat gleamed, sharp as a knife.
One step out of line, and they knew where to strike first. Hunt's hands curled into fists.
No, Bryce said. She doesn't know about the governors.
And she never will. No one else will ever know, Bryce Quinlan.
Bryce swallowed again.
Yes. A soft laugh. Then you and Hunt Athalar have our blessing.
The line went dead.
Bryce stared at the phone like it was going to sprout wings and fly around the room.
Hunt slumped on the couch, rubbing his face.
Live quietly and normally. Keep your mouths shut. Never use the horn, and we won't fucking kill you and everyone you love.
Bryce sat on the rolled arm of the couch. Slay a few enemies, gain twice as many in return.
Hunt grunted. She angled her head.
Why are your boots on?
Isaiah needs me at the Comitium. He's up to his neck in angels, wanting to challenge his authority, and needs backup.
He arched a brow.
Want to come play scary asshole with me?
Despite everything, despite the Asteri watching and all that had occurred, Bryce smiled. I have just the outfit. Bryce and Hunt made it two steps onto the roof before she caught the familiar scent. Peered over the edge and saw who ran down the street below. A glance at Hunt, and he swept her into his arms, flying her down to the sidewalk. She might have snuck a deep inhale of him, her nose grazing the strong column of his neck. Hunt's caress down her spine a moment before he set her down told her he'd caught that little sniff. But then Bryce was standing before Rune, before Fury and Tristan Flynn. Fury barely gave her a moment before she leapt upon Bryce, hugging her so tightly her bones groaned.
You are one lucky idiot,
Fury said, laughing softly,
and one smart bitch.
Bryce smiled, her laugh caught in her throat as Fury pulled away. But a thought struck her, and Bryce reached for her phone. No, it was left somewhere in this city. Juniper?
She's safe. I'm going to check on her now.
Fury squeezed her hand and then nodded to Hunt.
Well done, Angel.
And then her friend was sprinting off, blending into the night itself. Bryce turned back to Rune and Flynn. The latter just gaped at her. But Bryce looked to her brother, wholly still and silent. His clothes torn enough to tell her that before the first light had healed everything, he'd been in bad shape, had probably fought his way through this city. Then Rune began babbling.
Therian went off to help get the evacuees out of the Blue Court, and Amelie ran to the den to make sure the pups were okay. But we were half a mile away when I heard the Moonwood Gate. Heard you talking through it, I mean. There were so many demons I couldn't get there, but then I heard Danica and all that light erupted and...
He halted, swallowing hard. His blue eyes gleamed in the streetlights, dawn still far off. A breeze off the Istros ruffled his black hair. And then it was the tears that filled his eyes, the wonder in them that had Bryce launching forward, had her throwing her arms around her brother and holding him tightly. Rune didn't hesitate before his arms came around her. He shook so badly that she knew he was crying. A scuff of steps told her Flynn was giving them privacy. A cedar-scented breeze flitting past suggested that Hunt had gone airborne to wait for her.
I thought you were dead, Rune said,
his voice shaking as much as his body.
Like 10 fucking times I thought you were dead.
She chuckled. I'm glad to disappoint you.
Shut up, Bryce.
He scanned her face, his cheeks wet.
Are you all right?
I don't know, she admitted. Concern flared in his face, but she didn't dare give any specifics, not after Rigelus's phone call, not with all the cameras around.
Rune gave her a knowing grimace. Yes, they'd talk about that strange, ancient starlight within her veins later. What it meant for both of them.
Thank you for coming for me.
You're my sister. Rune didn't bother to keep his voice down. No, there was pride in his voice, and damn if that didn't hit her in the heart. Of course I'd come to save your ass. She punched his arm, but Rune's smile turned tentative.
Did you mean what you said to Athalar? About me?
Tell Rune. I forgive him.
Yes, she said without a moment of hesitation. I meant all of it.
Bryce.
His face grew grave.
You really thought that I would care more about the Starborn shit than about you? You honestly think I care which one of us it is?
It's both of us, she said. Those books you read said such things once happened.
I don't give a shit,
he said, smiling slightly.
I don't care if I'm called Prince or Starborn or the Chosen One or any of that.
He grabbed her hand.
The only thing I want to be called right now is your brother.
He added softly,
if you'll have me.
She winked, even as her heart tightened unbearably. I'll think about it. Rune grinned before his face turned grave once more.
You know the Autumn King will want to meet with you. Be ready.
Doesn't getting a bunch of fancy-ass power mean I don't have to obey anyone? And just because I forgive you doesn't mean I forgive him. She would never do that.
I know.
Rune's eyes gleamed.
But you need to be on your guard.
She arched a brow, tucking away the warning, and said, Hunt told me about the mind reading. He'd mentioned it briefly, along with a recap of the summit and everything that had gone down, on the walk up to the roof. Rune glared at the adjacent rooftop where Hunt stood.
Athalar has a big fucking mouth.
One she'd like to put to good use on various parts of her body, she didn't say. She didn't need Rune puking on her clean clothes. Rune went on.
And it's not mind reading, just mind talking. Telepathy.
Does dear old dad know?
No.
And then her brother said into her head,
And I'd like to keep it that way.
She started. Creepy. Kindly stay the fuck out of my head, brother.
Gladly.
His phone rang, and he glanced at the screen before wincing.
I gotta take this.
Right, because they all had work to do to get this city to rights, starting with tending to the dead. The sheer number of sailings would be. She didn't want to think about it. Rune let the phone ring again.
Can I come over tomorrow?
Yes, she said, smirking. I'll get your name added to the guest list.
Yeah, you're a fucking hotshot.
He rolled his eyes and answered the call.
Hey, Deck.
He strode down the street to where Flynn waited, throwing Bryce a parting grin. Bryce looked to the rooftop across the street, where the angel still waited for her, a shadow against the night. But no longer the shadow of death. Chapter 97. Hunt stayed at the Comitium barracks that night. Bryce had lost track of the hours they'd worked, first through the night, then into the cloudless day, and finally at sunset she'd been dragging so much that he'd ordered Naomi to fly her home, and presumably ordered her to stand watch, since a dark-winged figure still stood on the adjacent rooftop in the gray light before dawn, and a peek into Hunt's room revealed that his bed remained made. But Bryce didn't dwell on all the work they'd done yesterday, or all that lay ahead. Reorganizing the city's leadership, sailings for the dead, and waiting for the big announcement, which Archangel would be tapped by the Asteri to rule over Valbara. Odds of them being decent were slim to none, but Bryce didn't dwell on that either, as she slipped into the still dim streets, Syrinx tugging on his leash as she tucked her new phone into her pocket. She defied the odds yesterday, so maybe the gods would throw them another bone and convince the Asteri to send someone who wasn't a psychopath. At the very least, there would be no more death bargains for Hunt, nothing more to atone for. No, he would be a free and true member of the Triari, if he wished. He had yet to decide. Bryce waved to Naomi, and the angel waved back. She'd been too tired yesterday to object to having a guard, since Hunt didn't trust the Asteri, her father, or any other power brokers to stay the hell away. After letting Syrinx do his business, she shook her head when the Chimera made to turn back toward the apartment.
No breakfast yet, buddy, she said, aiming for the river.
Syrinx yowled with displeasure, but trotted along, sniffing at everything in his path until the broad band of the Istros appeared, its riverside walkway empty at this early hour. Therian had called her yesterday, promising the River Queen's full support for any resources she needed. Bryce hadn't the nerve to ask whether that support was due to her being the bastard daughter of the Autumn King, a starborn fae, or the bearer of Luna's horn. Perhaps all of them. Bryce settled onto one of the wooden benches along the quay, the bone quarter a swirling, misty wall across the water. The mayor had come, had helped so many escape. Even the otters had grabbed the smallest of the city's residents and carried them down to the Blue Court. The House of Many Waters had risen to the occasion. The shifters had risen to it. But the Fae? Phyro had sustained the least damage. The Fae had suffered the fewest casualties. It was no surprise when their shields had been the first to go up, and had not opened to allow anyone inside. Bryce blocked out the thought, as Syrinx leapt onto the bench beside her, nails clicking on the wood, and plopped his furry butt next to hers. Bryce slid her phone from her pocket and wrote to Juniper.
Tell Madame Kira I'll be at her next dance class.
June wrote back almost immediately.
The city was attacked, and this is what you're thinking about?
A few seconds later, she added,
But I will.
Bryce smiled. For long minutes, she and Syrinx sat in silence, watching the light bleed to gray, then to the palest blue, and then a golden thread of light appeared along the Istros' calm surface. Bryce unlocked her phone and read Danica's final happy messages one last time. The light built on the river, gilding its surface. Bryce's eyes stung as she smiled softly, then read through Connor's last words to her.
Message me when you're home safe.
Bryce began typing, the answer it had taken her 2 years nearly to the day to write.
I'm home.
She sent the message into the ether, willed it to find its way across the gilded river and to the misty isle beyond. And then she deleted the thread, deleted Danica's messages too. Each swipe of her finger had her heart lightening, lifting with the rising sun. When they were gone, when she had set them free, she stood, Syrinx leaping to the pavement beside her. She made to turn home, but a glimmer of light across the river caught her eye. For a heartbeat, just one, the dawn parted the mists of the bone quarter, revealing a grassy shore, rolling serene hills beyond. Not a land of stone and gloom, but of light and green. And standing on that lovely shore, smiling at her. A gift from the Under King for saving the city. Tears began rolling down her face as she beheld the near invisible figures. All six of them, the seventh gone forever, having yielded her eternity. But the tallest of them, standing in the middle with his hand lifted in greeting, Bryce brought her hand to her mouth, blowing a gentle kiss. As swiftly as they parted, the mists closed, but Bryce kept smiling all the way back to the apartment. Her phone buzzed, and Hunt's message popped up.
I'm home. Where are you?
She could barely type as Syrinx tugged her along.
Walking, Syrinx. I'll be there in a minute.
Good. I'm making breakfast.
Bryce's grin nearly split her face in two as she hurried her steps, Syrinx launching into a flat-out sprint, as if he, too, knew what awaited them.
Who awaited them? There was an angel in her apartment, which meant it must be any goddamned day of the week, which meant she had joy in her heart, and her eyes set on the wide open road ahead. Epilogue. The white cat with eyes like blue opals sat on a bench in the Oracle's park and licked his front paw. You know you're not a true cat, don't you? Jessica Roga clicked her tongue. You don't need to lick yourself. Adis, Prince of the Chasm, lifted his head.
Who says I don't enjoy licking myself?
Amusement tugged on Jessica's thin mouth, but she shifted her stare to the quiet park, the towering cypresses still gleaming with dew.
Why didn't you tell me about Bryce?
He flexed his claws.
I didn't trust anyone. Even you.
I thought Thea's light was forever extinguished.
So did I. I thought they'd made sure she and her power died on that last battlefield under Prince Peleus's blade.
His eyes glowed with ancient rage.
But Bryce Quinlan bears her light.
You can tell the difference between Bryce's starlight and her brother's.
I shall never forget the exact shine and hue of Thea's light. It is still a song in my blood.
Jessica studied him for a long moment, then frowned.
And hunt Athalar.
Adis fell silent as a petitioner stumbled past, hoping to beat the crowds that had filled the Oracle's park and Luna's temple since portals to his world had opened within the court's gates, and the beasts of the pit had taken full advantage of it. Any who had managed to return were currently being punished by one of Adis's brothers. He would soon return to join them in it. Adis said at last,
I think Athalar's father would have been proud.
Sentimental of you. Adis shrugged as best his feline body would allow.
Feel free to disagree, of course,
he said, leaping off the bench.
You knew the male best.
His whiskers twitched as he angled his head.
What of the library?
It has already been moved. He knew better than to ask where she had hidden it, so he merely said,
Good.
Jessica didn't speak again until the fifth prince of hell had stalked a few feet away.
Don't fuck us over this time, Adis. I do not plan to,
he said, fading into the space between realms, hell a dark song beckoning him home.
Not when things are about to get so interesting.
This has been an Audible Studios production of House of Earth and Blood, Crescent City, Book 1. Written by Sarah J. Maas. Performed by Elizabeth Evans. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzik. Producer Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2020 by Sarah J. Maas. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.